Well, good morning and welcome. It's good to see each one of you here today. Join me in praising God for all of His love, His mercy, and His kindness that He pours out on us each day. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We are gathered this morning to praise God. Whether good things are happening to us, or maybe we feel like we're Job, the world could be falling apart around us, but Job praised God even in the middle of his sorrow. So whether you're full of joy this morning or dealing with sorrow, praise the one true living God for his goodness. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you are good. There is nothing beyond your control. Pour out your peace on us, your children. Just fill us with your Holy Spirit. We desire a fresh encounter with you, Lord. Speak to our hearts this morning. Reveal your will to us so that we may follow it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Well, good morning. I invite you to stand for worship. To come up to take the offering on this next song. And this morning's offering is going to Free, Freedom and Restoration for Everyone Enslaved. And if you need more information about that, you can see Lauren Hauer. And the children may also come forward with their coins for My Coins Count.
There's a land that is fairer than they, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet. By and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the spring, by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the spring, shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Let us pray.
Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can gather together to worship and praise you. Father, we ask for your blessing and guidance on our time here as we worship together. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you that you have given your Son to die for our sins so that we can live with you forever. We ask and pray that you continue to be with us as we go through the trials and tribulations of our lives. And we thank you also for the blessings that you have given us, as we know they all come from you. And Father, today we give back a portion of the financial blessing you've given us for the work of the church and the work of Free. And we ask and we pray that all people in this world will truly know freedom. Father, we lift our time up to you. I ask for your blessing on Pastor Tony as he brings your word to us. Thank you again in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Okay, leaning on Jesus. On the air.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to plant and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me everything I need to know. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my grief has taken, and all my sorrows fall in temptation. He's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempts me so, but oh, Jesus, I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. Hey, wall of fire. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Okay. And we're going to sing a couple of songs now that talk about the blood of Jesus, which is how we are saved, by his shed blood.
And best for to the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. In shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Come ye sinners, lost and hopeless, Jesus' blood can make you free. For he saved the worst among you when he saved a wretch like me. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. To the yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. In temptation, gives you praise for every day. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you for your shed blood, that you make us clean, you make us right and righteous by your shed blood, and we just worship you for that this morning. And we just lift Tony before you this morning. Just touch him as he brings your word. Give him the words, and may he speak with clarity and boldness this morning. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Did you have a good week?
Yes.
Yes? Well, I'm glad you did. So this morning we're going to talk about God, all right, and how we can know if God is real.
Yes.
Well, for one, the Bible tells us that he's real, right? God created everything and he controls everything whether we can see it or not. The Bible tells us that no human has seen God face to face. In Exodus 33, 17 to 23, Moses and God are talking. Okay? They're having a conversation, and Moses asks God to see him. God says, okay, I'm going to take you and place you in this crevice in the rock. And then when I pass in front of you, I'm going to put my hand in front of you until I pass by. And then you can look at my back because no human's allowed to see God's face. So how are we to know that God is real? Well, the Bible tells us that he's real, but how else can we tell that God is real?
He made everything.
And since he made everything,
he's in your heart.
Yes, he is. Since God made everything, we can look around our world and we can observe God, right? We see the wind blow, right? How do we know the wind is moving?
The trees shake,
yes. Leaves fall off, they blow around. We see crops in the field blowing around. In wintertime, we see snowflakes blowing around. We also can feel the wind on our skin, especially when it's cold, right? It's windy and cold. We really feel cold, and we can feel that on our skin. I have a candle here. So, how do we know that the candle is still burning? I know that I lit the candle, but how can I tell that it's still burning?
If I touch the can,
well, that's not, it feels the same. I don't see any light shining. How else can we know that the candle's still lit in there? If we wait long enough, it'll get hot. Can you hear what's happening? The water is actually starting to boil. I put too much on there now. But when I first put it on there, you could see it bubbling and it turned to steam. The sides of the candle are not very hot, but the top is. So we can look around the world and we can know that God is real. We can look at the world around us and we can know that God created it. We can use the power of observation. Just like we can tell that the wind is blowing by the trees moving and things going on around us. God is real. We might not be able to see him like I'm looking at you, but we can know that God is real. So I'd like to pray for you guys, and then you can have a snack. But I'm also going to pray for all these boxes back here that we collected, that those boxes are going to go out to children all over the world, and they're going to receive a Christmas present, and they're also going to receive a note in there about the gospel of Jesus. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for these children. I just pray a blessing upon them. Pour out your spirit on them. Open their eyes so that they can see you throughout their day and draw them close to you. Help them to come to a personal relationship with you, Jesus. Lord, I lift up these boxes that were collected. I pray that they would bless many children all over the world. I pray that they would bring joy to those who receive them. And I pray that the gospel message that is in each box will change many hearts and many lives and bring people into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack. We are now going to have a message for the women's retreat. I invite Cheryl to come and share. Sure.
Good morning. I just want to take a few minutes here and talk about the women's retreat that is coming up on January 26th through 28th. It will be held at the Eden Resort Inn and Suites this year. Everything was replanned because we were going to have it at Amish Inn and Suites, I think it's called. But due to a fire there, we had to replan everything. So we want to extend an invitation to all the women of the congregation to join us for a weekend of refreshment and renewal and spiritual growth and fellowship. We are excited to be having Marilyn Martin as our speaker. She's a kindergarten teacher at Hinkletown Mennonite School. And our worship leader will be Michelle Brubaker, who she used to attend here with her husband Barry years ago before going into the mission field, and they now live in Potter County. So she's going to be coming with her sister Mel and her two nieces, and they will be leading us in worship for the weekend. So right now I would like to show a short video to introduce Marilyn, our speaker, to give a brief overview of what she will be speaking about for the weekend.
Thank you so much for the invitation to be part of your church's ladies retreat. There's just something precious about women from different generations coming together to worship and praise God and learn lessons together from His Word, and I'm excited to be a part of that. My name is Marilyn Martin. I'm married to Fred Martin. I'm also a kindergarten teacher at Hinkletown Mennonite School. During our weekend together, we're going to focus on the life of Elijah and lessons we can learn from his life. We will begin the weekend with a light introduction Friday night, where I'll share with you some of my life journey, and you'll have a chance to get to know me a little bit better that way as well. As I've studied the life of Elijah, I found myself having a lot in common with him. I have felt like I found myself in a lot of messes, like Elijah did, and we'll talk about that Saturday morning. I've had to listen to distinguish the voice of God from all the other noise and happenings in my life, which will be the topic of my second session. I'm sorry, that would actually be the third session. And then the last session, I've just had to plead with God to just please give me enough, just like He did for the widow woman that Elijah was ending up staying in her care in a time of drought and famine. There have been times that I've had my own time of famine and drought, allegorically speaking, in my life. And we're going to just discuss that topic on Sunday. I know that God gave us characters in the Bible for us to relate to and apply lessons that they've learned to our lives. I look forward to meeting all of you and sharing some of the things that God has placed in my pathway of life. My prayer is that there will be plenty of laughter and personal reflection, revelations from God, and even that other things that we just can't even anticipate that God will reveal as the weekend unfolds. Thank you.
So I'm super excited to hear what Marilyn has to share with us. The sign-up sheets for the weekend are in both foyers, upstairs and downstairs. As with everything in the past couple years, the prices did go up a little bit since last time. And we would like to emphasize that there is financial help available if you need it. There will be a box to check on the sign-up sheet. And if that box is checked, the committee will be in touch with you. So the committee members are Joy Haller and Megali Sensenig and myself. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact us. You may email me, text me, call me. And if you have any questions. So we just want to ask for continued prayers as we pray, continue to plan this event, for that all that will go smoothly, and that'll be a time of growing closer to the Lord and each other. Thank you.
Sometimes as a ministry team, we get together and we talk about how blessed we are to have Debbie as a secretary. She does a really good job. Earlier this week, she called me and said, so is there any announcement you want to go in about junior youth meeting? Is there any specific thing you want to talk about? And I said, no, we're just going to meet here at the church. And she put in the bulletin exactly what I asked her to put in the bulletin. I'm here to correct that. After I told her that, I realized, oh, we're going to have a barn party this Wednesday. So, junior youth will not be meeting here from 7 to 8:30. We're going to have a barn party, and it's at Ken and Ann Becker's barn. And it's going to start at 6:30, and they usually end between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. So, junior youth is welcome to come to that, and youth group is also welcome to come to that. And if you want to, you can come at 6 and help get the barn ready. Ken and Ann have been hosting that for many years, and they rearranged their barn for us. And if you want to come help do that rearranging process at 6, you can, but it officially starts at 6:30. Thanks.
Well, good morning again. Teresa and I would like to thank you as a congregation for your gifts, your words of encouragement that have blessed us during Pastor Appreciation Sunday and different times throughout the year. I'd just like to thank you. Thank you to the PCRC for all the work that you put in and all that you do for us as leaders. I would like to take a minute to pray for Clarence and Jane Martin right now. As Clarence is in the hospital, will you join me in prayer for Clarence? Heavenly Father, we lift up Clarence and Jane to you. I just pray that your healing touch would be upon him. I pray that you'll give the doctors wisdom. Pour out your peace and comfort on Clarence and Jane and their family. Give them wisdom. We just pray that you will be near to them and comfort them. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to continue our series on defending our faith. We have looked at different topics so that we can talk to people, allowing us to share and defend our faith. We do this to get them to ask questions about what they believe and pointing them to Jesus simultaneously. We're going to look at showing people that God is real. And this is one of those areas that can be hard to explain because we can't see God with our eyes. We can't touch him like I can touch this book with my hands. So we're going to watch a video. It's 7 minutes long. The entire video is more like 15, but we're going to watch part of it. Alan Parr is interviewing Frank Turek. Frank Turek is an American apologist, author, public speaker, radio host. He is best known as the founder and president of Christian Apologetics Ministry Cross-Examined. Alan Parr is a national speaker, YouTuber, author, ordained minister, husband, and father. We will have a lot of information thrown at us, and we're going to dig into that more after the video. So will you play the video, please, Debbie?
What evidence outside of the Bible do we have that God exists? So excuse me, guys, we're going to start off with the questions about God first. So, all right, I know your Bible says that God exists, but I don't believe in your Bible. So therefore, mm-hmm. Mr. Christian,
yeah, good.
Where do you go from there?
That's great. Yeah, and what we do on a college campus, we talk about, that's one of the big questions we talk about, does God exist? And I normally talk about three arguments for God or three pieces of evidence for God. The first is that the universe had a beginning, Alan, that there was a beginning to space, time, and matter. And even atheists admit this. I mean, even Stephen Hawking, who was the top physicist in the world until he died about 4 years ago, said this: almost everyone now believes that the universe and time itself had a beginning at the Big Bang. In other words, there was a starting point for space, time, and matter. And so this is not even controversial anymore. People are admitting this. The only thing that's controversial, Alan, is what caused the beginning, right? And so it seems to me that if space, time, and matter had a beginning, then whatever created space, time, and matter can't be made of space, time, and matter. In other words, the cause must transcend space, time, and matter. So the cause must be spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful to create the universe out of nothing, personal in order to choose to create. You might say, well, why personal? Because to go from a state of nothingness to a state of creation, someone had to make a choice, and only persons can make choices. You know, impersonal forces don't make choices. Gravity doesn't decide to pull something to the ground, right? It just does it. So the cause of the universe has to be personal. The cause would also have to be intelligent to have a mind in order to make a choice. So I always ask people this question, Alan. I say, when you think about a spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful, personal, intelligent cause, who do you think of? People will say God. And then they'll say, well, how do you know it's the Christian God? And my answer is, we don't yet. We haven't done enough research yet. I mean, at this point, the creator of the universe could be Allah. But how do we discover if this is Allah or the Christian God? What we need to do is see the evidence for Jesus's resurrection. And if we look at that evidence, I think we'll realize that Jesus rose from the dead, which means that the same being that created space, matter, and time is the same being in whose human nature walked out of the tomb 1,986 years ago, right? So in other words, it is the Christian God, but you don't know it just from what we call the cosmological argument. The cosmological argument is the argument from the beginning of the universe. The second and third arguments, the second argument is the argument from the design of the universe, that if the universe were slightly different by any one of a number of factors, virtually imperceptibly, Alan, this is called the fine-tuning of the universe, there would be no universe, or there would be no universe that could support life. So the universe appears to be fine-tuned for life to exist and even for chemistry to work.
So,
and then the third argument
when you say fine-tuning, do you mean like, if the sun is like the distance from the sun to the earth, like if it was further away, or like it has to, it's perfect now. And if something was out of alignment, that we wouldn't.
That's part of it. But even from the beginning, let me just give you one fact on this, because this is hard to believe. But Hawking, the atheist, put it this way. He said that if the expansion rate of the universe were different by one part in 1,000,000,000,000 a second after the Big Bang, the universe would have collapsed back on itself or never developed galaxies. In other words, if the expansion rate at the very beginning was imperceptibly different virtually than it is now, we wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. Now, what caused that expansion rate to be precisely what it needed to be? Seems to me the same being that created space, time, and matter is the same being that fine-tuned the expansion rate so we could be here today. So from the very beginning, the universe is fine-tuned, which means you can't say, well, by chance it evolved. No. This is how the expansion rate began at the creation point. And if it were different then or different now, we wouldn't be here. So part of what you said is true, but even from the very beginning, it's true. So the fine tuning shows also that the creator has to be a very intelligent and powerful being in order to fine tune the universe to be as fine tuned as it is. And that's just one of about a dozen different things that you can look at and say, if any one of those were imperceptibly different, we wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And oh, the third.
Yep.
Yeah. The third argument is the moral argument. And the moral argument says, if there's one thing morally wrong out there, just one, like it's wrong to torture babies for fun, or it's wrong to murder 6 million people in a Holocaust, then there has to be a God. Why? Because if there is no God, then everything's just a matter of opinion. That would be just your opinion against a baby torturer's opinion, or your opinion against Hitler's opinion. But we all know, Alan, those things aren't just a matter of opinion, that it's really wrong to torture babies for fun. It's really wrong to murder people. If that's the case, there must be a standard beyond us, who is the standard of goodness, righteousness, and justice, and any deviation from that standard is what we would call evil. That standard is what everybody knows to be God. If God doesn't exist, you can't say that murder's wrong. You can't say racism's wrong. You can't say slavery's wrong, or rape is wrong, or theft is wrong. It would be just your opinion. And yet we know it's not just a matter of opinion. So the interesting thing, Alan, about these three arguments, here's what you get if you unpack these arguments completely. You get a spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful, personal, intelligent creator who created all things and sustains all things, and he's moral at the same time. And these are the attributes of the God of the Bible, and we haven't even opened the Bible yet. So just from those three arguments, which is called natural theology, that God has revealed himself in two books, the book of nature and the book known as the Bible. Just from the book of nature, we can say we can see a being like God exists without even opening the Bible.
Okay. Wow. One.
That video starts when Alan asks Frank, what evidence outside of the Bible do we have that God exists? And Frank uses three things for his argument. And I realize these arguments can feel complicated and maybe not understood very well. Something that we can do is we can point people to watch a video like this and sit there and watch it with them. And we can discuss all the things that he was talking about and have a conversation with people. His arguments were time and space had a beginning, fine-tuning of the universe, and he uses a moral argument. And we see evidence of God when we use the power of observation like we did in the children's message with that candle. How do we know that candle was lit? And we can use those observable things and point people to God, getting them to ask questions about what they truly believe. That's the first step of pointing someone to Jesus, is if you have a conversation with them. We looked at the Bible a few weeks ago, proving its authenticity and its accuracy. Since we know the Bible is accurate and proven true, we can show people that there is a God who created everything, and we can use the Bible alongside of scientific arguments to show people that God is real. When we go to Genesis and show that God outside of time and space, because there was nothing before God spoke it into being, God's booming voice went out into the universe, and it was created as we know it today. There was no such thing as time until God put it into place. In Genesis 1:3, God says, "Let there be light," and it was so. And then he created night. And this gives us a way to measure time as we know it. Our calendar is built around measuring days and years in a cycle that God ordained and set into place. The other argument that Frank used outside of the Bible, the term fine-tuning. This term is evidence that the creation of the universe was controlled down to the smallest detail. It was not random. It was not by chance. Things didn't just happen and we happened to be the right distance from the sun. Everything was made. It was perfectly guided into the perfect spot at the perfect speed. If anything was different, science tells us that it would not have happened. It would not have worked. That points to God. You can't have order out of chaos. How many of you have ever set off firecrackers? We were on a day trip with our family, and we had a very large firecracker and a pumpkin. Pieces flew everywhere, in all directions. They went outward from this explosion. Science has put their faith in a random explosion that came from nothing, that formed planets in our solar system. Listen to what space.com says. Dark matter makes up 80% of all matter in the universe, but scientists have never seen it. We only assume it exists because without it, the behavior of stars, planets, and galaxies simply would not make sense. What does that tell you? That a universe was created, and that science tries to make up something, to make sense of something that they can't explain or choose not to believe in. Our universe was created by God. This slide that's up there, these statements that are made, one is Stephen Hawking. He was an atheist. Richard Dawkins, who said in his book, "The belief in a supernatural God is a delusion," and I'm paraphrasing that. You have two men who do not believe in God, yet their statements on the screen directly point to God who created our universe. The third argument that Frank gave would apply to them, but they don't believe it. God made the universe. He set up moral standards for all of his people on this earth. That also means consequences. Consequences of not following the laws that apply to everyone. The consequences of sin and death, being separated from God for eternity. The nation of Israel, they had problems following God. They lived in Egypt for years. And they saw idols of stone, wood, gold, and silver being worshipped all around them. The nation of Israel saw God at work right in front of them. The Red Sea was split into two, and they walked through on dry ground. There was a pillar of cloud in front of them and a pillar of fire in front of them. Yet they physically could not see God himself. What did the people do when their leader, Moses, went up onto the mountain in Exodus 32, 1-4? When the people saw that Moses delayed in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us who will go before us, because this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron replied to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings that were on their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made it into the image of a golden calf. Then they said, "Israel, these are your gods who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Wow, they quickly turned away from God, the one who powerfully led them out of slavery. They didn't want to follow something that they couldn't see and also constrained them by moral rules and laws. They made this golden calf to worship. This is no different than the world that we live in today. People worship science. Morals and a moral compass, as we call it, are given to us by God, our Creator. It's not by man. If man didn't receive morals given by God, our Creator, we would not have any desire to do good. We would serve this self-serving nature that is in us. Why did Sodom and Gomorrah get destroyed? Why did the flood happen? Because people were following their self-serving nature all the time and not following God. People make up a moral standard that fits what they want and what they say is okay to do. And we see this all around the world that we live in. I'm going to make up what I believe because it's what I want to do, and that's my standards. And when we look at evidence around us, we can see a Creator God who made everything, the God of the Bible. We must remember to not get mad or defensive when we enter into conversations with people. We're trying to point them to Jesus, showing them that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. We're not trying to win an argument and prove that I am right. Jesus loves them, and he wants to have a personal relationship with them. We cannot take it as an attack when someone questions us about our faith and tells us that they don't believe in our God. We need to ask them some questions about what they really believe. Have compassion on them like Jesus did when he saw the crowds of people as sheep without a shepherd in Matthew 9, 36 to 38. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." We can ask people questions to get them to think about their beliefs. Like this one, what happens if you're wrong when you die? If I'm wrong, and there is no God, and the Bible is wrong, then I die a person who needed a crutch to help them through life. I followed God's morals, and it made me a better person. Then we both go the way of the ground, and that's it. Our lives are over. But if you're wrong, what does that mean? That means there is a God who created everything. He set morals for us, a code for us to follow. God tells us that unless we accept Jesus into our hearts as our Lord and Savior, we will spend eternity away from him in hell. Ask people questions. Get them to think about what they believe. The universe is created, and it is set in motion by God. He put it in order. In closing, we do not need to have all the answers, but we must be willing to investigate any question that we can answer. We also need to rely on the Holy Spirit to be speaking to us when we're talking with somebody, giving us what we need in that moment. Approach people with a humble attitude, seeing them as Jesus did in Matthew, as lost sheep. Knowing the answers to these questions, it helps us stand firm in our faith and share with others. People are looking for meaning in their lives. They're trying to figure it out. Let's point them to Jesus. Let's point them to God who created everything. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you created everything. Show us more evidence of your handiwork daily. Give us the answers to any questions that someone might have. Help us to point them to Christ. Please give us wisdom so that we can stand firm in our own faith without wavering. Holy Spirit, reveal your truth to us. when we face those who don't believe in you. Thank you for loving us and giving us Jesus so that we can be with you forever. We place our faith in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song. I have one announcement. Next Sunday is your last day to turn in your affirmation ballots for Ken and for Rick, so just a reminder for that. Will you stand for the parting benediction? Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do His will, working in us which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. God bless you. You're dismissed.